Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tony. Lovely to see you all. It seems absolutely ages since we were last with you. And, you know, but great to be able to connect up on Zoom, of course, and share with you. Well, the word I put on my heart this morning, and I hope it speaks to your heart and life by the Holy Spirit, is really the issue about identity. And I've been reminded about the question that Jesus asked his disciples when he said, "Who do men say I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And this is an important question, I believe, because who you say Jesus is will determine your identity and shape your future. Now, I'm very much aware that you probably will know a lot of what I'm going to say this morning. So forgive me. It's just as the Lord give it to me, and I just pray to bless you. You know, your identity is formed by who you want to be identified with. And I'm reminded of my old life, how I tried to identify with a lot of things that actually were really dead end streets and pretty futile. And obviously, over our upbringing and our growing up, identity is formed by all sorts of influences on our life, like parents, friends, hobbies, imagery, role models. All these things we take in, and it starts to form this idea of who we want to be. And I was going to sing you a song this morning, but I thought I'd spare you the suffering. But it was a simple song which actually has really blessed us, Pam and myself, by casting crowns. But I just want to read you a little few of the words from it. And it's called "Who Am I?" That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Hallelujah. You see, I believe that actually we never really fully discover who we are until we discover who Jesus is for our life. And so many, and as we go through this present sort of black crisis of this pandemic, I think the nation is probably suffering from a bit of an identity crisis. And I speak that loosely because the history of our nation at the moment has changed, and we have a new direction, but there has been such a shaking going on that has shaken people's, securities and even who they've been dependent on. And now we find ourselves, you know, in a place where I think God is going to use this time to bring his people, his church, back to him in a wonderful way. I pray and hope, and I hope I don't upset anybody saying this, but I pray and hope we don't go back to where we were. Because I believe God wants to take us on into something deeper and something new with him. And if anything comes out of this, I pray the church will rise up and shine and reflect something of the identity of Christ in us more and more in these days. And one of the ways I think God has been doing that, Pam and myself, in a very personal way, is the area of prayer. You know, Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Amen. And it seems like the only time Jesus ever got angry was when people failed or refused to pray, to spend time, to seek him, to be in his presence more. And that's a very personal thing. But I know we're just being so encouraged how God is drawing us closer and closer in prayer, because I believe that anything we do as a people has got to come out of the intimacy of our prayer life with Jesus. Amen. And when we get this, this is what, something of what I think God is revealing in these days. When we get this, it puts a different perspective on our plans and our vision and our desires and what we want to see happen. And so I want to encourage you to, you know, seek God more and more in the prayer room. And sometimes that requires a discipline of our lives, but you don't want to make it a sort of a program-based thing. It's just got to be a lifestyle where we just want to talk to Jesus more and be in his presence. And, you know, this is something I think God is touching our hearts with more and more. And I pray that be the case when you're down there. So do not neglect, as it were, that place where we intimately and very closely and relationally draw nearer to God in our own walk with him and through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This area of identity is so important because our human nature always seems to want to identify with something or someone. And Paul, I've always been encouraged with these words that Paul said when he said, imitate me. And I think, wow, you know, can any of us here say, really, with our hand on our heart, imitate me? I mean, I would say, don't follow me, whatever you do, because I get it so wrong so often. But Paul was able to say, imitate me. And I guess, you know, it's very easy to imitate lots of things in this world because there's lots of influences that are coming in. And sadly, the church is being corrupted by stuff which is taking away its identity. So, we've really got a challenge to make sure as a church we're going to be light bearers for Jesus more and more. Mm. You know, why could Paul say that? He said that because he went on to say, just as I imitate Christ. Mm. And that's the key. Amen. There's the key for our life, that actually we get closer to Jesus, look at him more and more, and seek to apply the character and nature of Christ within our lives with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And, you know, well, we may not be able to meet together be in our usual places, but we can still seek God. Amen. Together, still share fellowship together, still draw nearer to him, and ask him to get us ready for the season that lies ahead. And I believe there will be a new season for his church. How about you? I'm sure you're praying for revival. I know we are. We want to see God move more and more in the days ahead. Hallelujah. So, who you say Jesus is will determine your identity and shape your future. Now, that can happen on all sorts of different levels. In other words, who you hang out with determines if others want to be identified with you. I know when I got saved, I lost all my friends. You know, they disappeared. They thought I'd gone crazy. And but what God did was change who I was. I couldn't be who I was before. And that's been a process that goes on and on, of course. But, you know, I want to be identified with fellow believers. I want my identity be shaped by my faith and who I am in Christ. But isn't it true in the natural? You know, if you want to be identified as a Hell's Angel, you can hang out with Hell's Angels. Isn't that right? You know, and that's going to be something you're going to abide. Well, I want to be identified with Jesus and the church, because that's who we are. We're the body of Christ. Amen. And Jesus said something very interesting in Luke 9:26. He said, well, whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory. See, being ashamed of something is the opposite to being wanting to be identified with it. And he spoke these words in the context of denying yourself. In other words, if you want to be identified with me, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to die. You're going to have to be crucified. And then the new person that comes forth will be, praise God, for the grace of God in the likeness of Jesus, more and more, as he is allowed to have rule in our life. Paul wrote, I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. He said, nevertheless, I live not, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is who I am. Amen. I trust you can say this morning, this is who I am. This is who we are. You know, the children of God, the body of Christ, the light, Lord, that will shine into the world in these days that we live more and more. You know, the implications of being crucified with Christ, as I'm sure you know, are many. They are many. It means that your needs are no longer the priority for your life. You're going to be looking out for others, not yourself. You're going to be a servant. You're going to be a producer. And Jesus said, this is for my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Mm. Hallelujah. And you're going to reevaluate your priorities and objectives based on who you are in Christ. Paul wrote, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to him. And you will develop a sense of purpose and destiny for your life for such a time as this. And you will be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We cannot minister, do church, have a relationship without the ministry of the Holy Spirit within our lives. I know you know these things. I want to read you something that W. Towser wrote. And forgive me if I've already shared this with you, because I think these words are so fantastic. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who, though he is like Jesus in his gentleness and love, would nevertheless demand to be Lord of your life? Are you willing to let your personality be taken over by another, even if that other were the Spirit of God himself? If the Spirit takes charge of your life, he will expect unquestioning obedience in everything. He will not tolerate in you the self sins, even though they are permitted and excused by many Christians. You will find the Spirit to be in sharp opposition to the easy ways of the world and of the mixed multitude within the precincts of religion. He will be jealous over you for good. He will not allow you to boast or swagger or show off. He will take the direction of your life away from you. He will reserve the right to test you, to discipline you, to chasten you for your soul's sake. And he may strip you of many of those borderline pleasures which other Christians enjoy, but which are to you a source of refined evil. Through it all, he will enfold you in a love so vast, so mighty, so all-embracing, so wondrous, that your very losses will seem like gains and your small pains like pleasure. Reminds me that, actually. I'm not sure how long ago that was written. You probably know more than me. Tozer, when he was actually alive, he wrote those words. My word, they're so relevant for today, aren't they? Reminds me of Jacob, the twister, who wrestled with God that he might find, be blessed by God. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a determination in him to want the best of God for his life. And of course, it reminds us of Paul, the persecutor, who ran the race to win, but said, I'm not going to settle for second best. You know, don't we need the Holy Spirit more and more today, as we are surrounded by the many subtle influences that are in the world that are slowly, I have to say, sadly, crept into the church in many different areas. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment, test all things in these days we live. So when Jesus asked a question, which he asked here right at the beginning, I'll just go back to the question. I hope I haven't lost you. Whom do men say that I am, that I the Son of Man am? And he wasn't asking about his humanity, because his humanity was as the Son of Man, but he was asking something deeper. And the people's responses were based on logic and reason, not revelation. They thought maybe it was John the Baptist, maybe Elijah, maybe even Jeremiah. And actually, I'm reminded many, many people will answer in the same way today. I'm sure you've found this in your witnessing. If you ask people who Jesus is today, and you will probably get a good man, a response, good man, or perhaps a prophet, which of course Muslims think he was. Of course, he was a good prophet, but he wasn't. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God, of course. And some may even answer, well, probably an imposter, you know, because, and the thing about this is, you've got to do something with Jesus, haven't you? You know, you can file him away somewhere or come up with all your reasoning and logic, but in the end, you've got to do something with Jesus, which is why people find the name of Jesus a little bit sort of hard to deal with, because there's you've got to take an option here. Either you're going to believe who he says he is, or you're not, and you're going to put him in some category or other. And it tells us in Romans 1:20 that they are things are perceived in what God has made, and there is no excuse. You know, actually, Jesus is revealed to the world, and so the Word of God says there's no excuse. You can actually see God's handiwork everywhere you look. And and I want to ask another question, which I'm sure you would answer like Peter answered to that question, which we'll come to. But who do we say Jesus is? Who do we say Jesus is? Now, what a crazy question to ask the church. Who do we say Jesus is? Well, Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus replies, well, this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. Wow. I've always held on to this truth so dear, that actually the knowledge and the revelation and the understanding of who Jesus is for our lives personally is something that God has revealed to your heart and mind. We didn't learn it. We didn't discover it in some course. Lord, in his grace and his mercy, revealed himself to you. Wow. I don't know about you, but that should make us feel pretty humble. And, you know, to actually know and rejoice in the truth that Jesus believes, the Father believes, that you are worthy to receive the revelation, the truth of who Jesus is for your life. And actually, in accepting that, it's changed the course of your destiny. It's changed the road that you walked on. It's changed the understanding of who you are as a child of God. The Father has revealed to us through a divine process who Jesus is. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it cuts deep to where the soul and spirit meet. Hallelujah. And this is a process that God is using, and through his word, touching our hearts more and more, and separating off the old from the new, you know, but still raises its head sometimes. And we just thank God, don't we, in our lives, that he is able to reach into the innermost places in our lives and bring change for our life. Let me read something to you that I wrote recently. The Word of God is able to reach into the most secret places of our hearts. It is powerful, all-knowing, alive, and active. It can create, nurture, and instruct us in the most personal and intimate place with our Creator. Oh, yes, Lord. Because it is living, it is producing spiritual life that separates the activities of our soulish nature and breathes life into our spirit. This is God's best for us. The process continues throughout our lives, shaping and refining us from the inside out. It is this divine activity that manifests his life within us, convicts and produces a people that are made in the image of God as effective and powerful witnesses for Jesus. I want to thank God today. I don't know about you, I just want to thank God for the work that he's doing in our hearts and lives. Are you ready to yield more and more to that ministry, to draw upon that divine work that he's doing in each and every one of us? I tell you, he's going to change us. He's not going to be satisfied with leaving us where we are. You know, we've got to be laid on the altar. And we've got to be open to his divine ministry into our lives through his word, by the Holy Spirit, touching our lives more and more. And why? Because he's not finished with us yet. And he's not finished with his church yet. And he's going to raise his church up, I believe, in the end times, that are going to be a reflection, and the world is going to see something in his people that reveals the identity of Christ within us. Yeah. I just want to, as I bring this message to a close, two things I just want to really say, Lord, is who did Jesus say he is? I mean, it's all very well us asking who is Jesus, but who did he actually say he is? And of course, you don't have to look far to find the answer to that. He said, I am the Son of God. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am not of this world. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So, friends, our identity today is based on who we are in Christ, not in our old life. That's got to go. And who are we? Let's ask the question, who are we? Who are we? We are redeemed, blood-bought children of God. Amen. Forgiven and sanctified. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, gifted by God with a calling on our lives. We are prayer warriors. We are saved, empowered from on high, and called to follow Jesus. We are workers in the harvest field. We are wonderfully made for a purpose with a heavenly destiny. We are loved by our Father and accepted in Christ, valued and precious in God's eyes. And we are adopted into a heavenly royal priesthood. We are the people of God, who God created us to be, born again as children of God. And I'll finish with this verse, which you will all know. anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. He is a new creation. Yeah. And the old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. And that is our identity. And I pray God will continue to shape us into the image that he created us to be. Amen. He's doing a work, and it's going to go on and on. I hope you're up for it. I hope you're passionate about it. I hope God is just ministering by the Holy Spirit such wonderful things to you all in Salisbury at this time, you know. And we're looking forward to spending some real time with you. Amen. Some real time with you sometime. Let's hope it's going to be this year sometime. Amen. Yeah, amen. But keep looking up, keep looking to Jesus, keep being filled with his Holy Spirit, you know. Keep yielding to his word and letting him shape us more and more. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Amen.